John Renova, beginning the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 74 at lunch. John Renova, beginning the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday at lunch, the 2nd of April, 74. John Renova, beginning the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday at lunch, the 2nd of April, 74. John Renova, beginning of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday at lunch, the 2nd of April, 74. Channel one over, and beginning of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 74.
People just
don't learn. Well, I guess it's better than trying to ask. And you always
did. And now, bless you.
Well, we just
about
say that way.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't gain too much.
Well, I don't know what y'all are going to do.
We just could sit down and talk a little bit and get up a little like
I
you do.
I want you to show me something.
Sit down.
I'm going to, I got food for us. Lord have us. Don't tell me you've eaten.
Yeah.
Will we eat a sandwich?
I told you, I forgot about coming.
Mary.
Well, come on, sit down for a while.
You ate a sandwich.
We ate a sandwich. I forgot about it. I tell you what, I've been crazy.
You've been crazy?
Yeah. I just about lost my mind.
What?
Well, you know, the 15th of March, I was supposed to have a payment. And I didn't get it. And the other people say out for a time. I got Marvin to get on the telephone call. Just as nice and sweet as anybody you ever seen. I guarantee you it'll be in the mail no later by Tuesday. And Judy told Marvin, she said, yes, sir, I know it. Said Mr. Townsend, said, I'm getting the check ready. He says, I'll be out there today to take it to you. Or I'll drop it in the mail and you'll get it tomorrow. And I'll call you and let you know which of them. Good word. So so just let it rock on till Monday morning. Call him his dad. I'm not worried about it now. Mr. Edson says, he says it may be tomorrow. That was yesterday. He says, it may be tomorrow before I call you, but he says, I call you. I said, okay. So yesterday he called me and he says, what am I going to do with this thing I got? And I said, Marvin will be right on over. The bank won't accept it. Miss Mary. That's all right. That's all right. I ain't worried now.
Oh.
They told me that it might be that, you know, that they just hadn't counted the funds. But anyway, I had it run through the bank.
Uh-huh.
See, they couldn't take it. That's all right.
Well, you can get your property back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I ain't worried, but I have it. You know, anybody just lied to you.
Well, I guess this happens a lot, Miss Mary. You know they know better. They know they have to pay it, don't they?
They know it. And but I guess by him thinking that he's a lawyer, that he's smart enough that he can get by, but when Mr. Adkins gets a hold of him, he finds out he ain't as smart as he thinks he is.
Oh. But just to have it on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
To worry about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole problem with this selling and stuff.
But I'm not worried anymore. If it ain't no good, well, it's all right.
Just take your property back. And that won't be any problem at all, will it?
Not a bit.
They supposed to pay on the 15th.
On the 15th, you see that thing once a year.
Oh, this was a yearly payment.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go through.
No, she said, she asked me, she says, you want me to hold it till, I said, yeah, just hold it till tomorrow. And I'll be back. And she says, okay, good. She says, I'll hold it.
Well,
and it's just one thing right after the other that I have to worry about. I worry about everything. I just worry about everything. You know, Miss Miles, it's like this. If they'd have told me, Miss Townsend, I'm kind of hard up now. Just give me a few days, would you? Or I haven't got the money, and I'll. She'll come up with it. But no, they just lied to me.
That's it, you see. If folks would just know that that's what you could do, if they meant to do right in the first place, Miss, you know they have to pay it.
They know it. And they selling land, you know. They sold one fella. Mr. Adkins told me, he said, did you sign? No. He says, you okay?
Oh.
He said, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Oh. I see what you mean. They've been selling land without
my okay. See, I haven't signed.
And
I haven't given them any relief. And see, if I take it, I'll get the whole shebang back. And then them other people can sue them. He said I didn't have a thing in the world to worry about. Said I was setting free. He said them other people was the one that had something to worry about. But everything just worries me.
But you don't want to have to do all that.
No. I don't want to. But I will if I
sure.
have to.
Sure. Sure you will. You don't have any choice. But you'd just rather have your payments and go ahead like
mm-hmm.
they agreed to do it. I haven't seen you in so long.
No, it's just missed you. It's the truth. We've just been right there at home. We haven't been anywhere.
Well, you've been doing a lot of things.
Well, we've been trying to.
And what kind of peas was it that you were going to get?
Ram's horn?
Never heard of that.
Well, you know, Lois and Jack went into Sears Roebuck yesterday. You can't buy them nowhere. And they come back to the house and they said, I seen some black-eyed ram's horn pea seed. I said, where did you see it? At Sears Roebuck. I told Marvin, I said, get in the car and go right now and get them.
Yeah, sure.
I said, so he and Jack got in the car and went. And they got me 8 pounds, all I had. But they put up by Asgrow, you know.
Yeah.
And so they good seed.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to get planted.
Ram's horn peas.
That's right. Ram's horn black-eyed peas.
Mmm. Have you got the ground all fixed?
Oh, but going over it with the disc and laying it off.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he had started to do when I said, oh, my Lord, Marvin, I said, I promised Miss Miles that we'd go over there. I ain't got no sense. I can't remember.
Well, Miss Mary?
I come in ace for getting it.
Well, you could, you know, it was all right. We just hadn't seen you. And
well, you know, when I promise anybody anything, why, I want to stick up to it.
Well, I've got food already, if y'all can eat any.
Well, have you all ate?
We nibbled a little bit around the middle of the morning, but, you know, because I said, now, guy, you know, the way we left it was, if y'all had a break,
mm-hmm.
Why, come on over.
Well, I told Marvin, I said, I promised to go, so let's go, and so he said, well, let's go.
Good. I tell you what, I've got some of that salad. Maybe you could eat a little of that.
Well, after a while, you
after
know,
a while.
Let them go ahead and do what they want to do, piddle about.
I think they're just talking about an air conditioner out there. It's about all. And,
You going to get you an air conditioner for them?
He's got one here. We're going to thought we'd get
yes,
one out there.
Well, we had to go to Home Depot. I just get the sand on my feet there. You don't.
Well, Bonnie gets sandy too.
Why is it so damn dark in here?
Well, I don't know, guys.
It's cloudy.
Cloudy
outside.
Sun's not out good.
Give me
yeah.
A little of that salad.
No, not right now. Let's wait till y'all get ready.
We're ready.
You know, we come in from Hawthorne, and
yeah.
I forgot about coming over here. And we sat down and we had some old canned ham and we ate a sandwich. And he started to see her, and I said, oh, wait a minute. Miss Miles, I'd go over there. And he said, well, come on, let's go.
Well, let me tell you, I told Faye last night, I said, you don't want to get Miss Mary and them over here, right here in the first of the week when they're trying to get something done, but she wanted to see you, I guess.
Well, one day as good as another.
Hadn't seen you. We had missed you. We've been over there, and you hadn't been over here. And I said, God,
I
just hadn't even looked at
us. Yeah, y'all come by one day. We was up there.
It was on a Sunday evening.
New neighbors up there.
So I was up there at Dolores's.
Well, I didn't recognize you when you come by, but they left a note or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
I come meeting know.
You hadn't seen Faye since she got that little old brown car, have you?
I don't think so.
A little Dodge.
No, we haven't seen her since you got that Dodge.
No. Well, it hadn't been long.
Yeah.
Months.
Well, had to have ahead. Something that didn't eat up the gasoline.
Well, how is it? All right?
Okay. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's dark.
Yeah.
They tell me that might be easy on gas.
You know, these old cars I have were just bringing down so much, it they just hate to see us come to the service station.
Well, what about your little Chevrolet out there? It don't take too much, does it?
Well, let me tell you, Marvin, I had to rebuild several things in it.
For one thing, the battery had eat out the battery.
Oh, well, yeah.
Station.
Mm-hmm.
And they simply couldn't put a landing on that. You know, a battery's heavy.
I know that.
And if you haven't got a little platform to put it on, it's not eat
well,
up.
Well, it was the old rack, the old rack.
All eat up.
The whole rack.
Whole shebang.
Well, so you know, the best one of them I ever saw, I believe, was built in a piece of half-inch plywood bottom on it. That won't eat up.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, that's the last thing I'd pick.
It won't eat that wood up.
How do you know?
And it will that metal. Now, I've often wondered why they didn't make them things either out of plastic or wood.
Yeah.
Well, you know they've got the battery now with that little thing on the side.
Yes.
Where,
mm-hmm.
where you don't have that caustic, that...
deposit comes out, don't
yeah.
it? No.
Yeah.
Oh, corrosion of whatever.
That corrosion business.
I'll bet Guy never heard of those peas you're talking about.
Ram's horns?
No.
And that one.
Ram seed is sure hard to find.
Have you seen them?
We've been looking for them for several years and just found some. Found them at Sears Roebuck.
Oh, really? I imagine you can find a lot of things at Sears.
Well,
Roebuck.
They put up by the Asgrove people.
Yeah, see.
That's good seed. Asgrove, is that, ain't that what you call them?
Asgrove seed, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a name. Uh-huh. Special, I thought.
You know, I wanted to come back over there and see and visit with your neighbors a little bit. I haven't been back since that one time I went down there. That was the day. Yeah, it was the day.
He thinks he's eating.
I got a whole bunch of those. One, a turtle dove?
Yeah.
Started out with one, then I got two, and now I got a whole family.
Oh. I'd love to have some.
But you have to scatter your feed on the ground.
They won't eat bread much and stuff like that. They like
yeah,
grain.
They like
grain.
Scratch feed.
Clean grain.
He'd rather have grain too.
And they like it on the ground.
But
doves won't come to a platform or anything like that station to eat.
They have to eat off the ground. You see the little old things come walking down the road, you know. I was so afraid somebody would kill them this hunting season, but they didn't.
You mean they survived the hunting season?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stayed right there around the house and there wasn't any
problem
around.
But I haven't seen a quail and I don't know when.
Let me tell you. You know, I think these rodents, these armadillos and all, they're ground feeders.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they got a chance. These
quail
guys.
Hasn't. Doves.
That's right.
Doves have because they nest on a limb.
Yeah.
But
they don't make no nest.
No, they don't.
No, a dove, they just get on the limb and lay that egg, and somehow or another it sticks, it won't.
And the
won't
little
one
off. Stays up there.
Oh,
and
it
hatch out, but the little ones just sit there on the limb. Oh, it only takes them about a week and they're gone.
They don't make no nest at all. They just lay on a limb or on a cabbage fan.
I never saw none.
I have lots of them.
There was one up there in an oak tree right behind the barn. I went out there and the old dove was up there.
Yeah, there's one out there in that old cherry tree, and there's one in the big oak out there.
And you know, they sit up out there on them light wires, and they watch me.
Oh.
Never put out
feed.
Zoom
down
the cup.
Just stand out there and wait for you.
Yeah, they sit up down that wire.
Well, I haven't come out there and look in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And they practice say, hey, bud, what
you did you know something? You
morning?
Know one of them jokers? He's got a nest and got little ones. And you walk under that limb, he'll knock your head off.
They'll die.
I mean, one like to kill me on top of my head one time.
Mockingbird will.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They will.
Now, but that was a jaybird. I didn't know the jaybird nest was up there till he hit me.
Yeah. You found out.
My God. And you know them little jokers eat? I buy feed by the 25 pound.
Oh.
and keep it put out. And you know, it don't take them boomers no time to eat up 25 pounds.
One of them doves can carry off a quarter feed a day. They'll fill up and take to the water hole. Won't be long before they'll come back. They'll wash it down and come on back.
That's what Faye's daddy used to call the WTA. We put out stuff like that, you know. He didn't believe in it. But what we found, unless you put out a little feed for them, you never see them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, if you do, they're way up in the top of the tree.
And if you feed the squirrels all the summer when the hunting season comes, somebody's come right there in front of the house and kill them.
Yeah.
We got one old blackbird.
Yes, right there in front of your own house.
Mm-hmm,
we got one old blackbird that comes, and he's got, well, there's a bunch of them come, but there's one come out down the chicken pen and eat with the chickens, and he got red on his wings, and he's got one leg. Somebody done shot one of the legs off or something.
Yeah,
he just got one leg. Get around on it. That's pretty good.
You used to run across that with these little boys with the BB guns, but they're illegal now.
Well, they give them a 22, so that's just as worse.
That's right.
You can't shoot birds anymore.
Not supposed to, but they do it.
Well, it ain't general, though.
No, that's right.
Some may, but it ain't general. They don't bring them up shooting the birds like I grew up, you see. We'd pop them.
Well, when I was growing up, all I had was a sling shot.
Well, you can do it with a sling shot.
I brought down a lot of them with sling shots.
Let me tell you. Did you ever find out what happened to your bull?
He was shot.
Yeah, he was shot. Yeah, he was really 22.
He stays down there on the burp pond by himself. He don't have nothing to do with the herd at all. He's a loner now.
But he's getting along pretty good, though.
We're going to have to get rid of him.
Yeah, we're going to let him go in this summer sometime.
He stays down there by himself.
Yeah.
By himself. He don't have anything to do with any of the other cows.
At night.
He's just not at himself.
Oh.
So he just minds his own business.
Yeah, we can go down there to the Burr Pond. And call him, Marvin can say, come on, Bull, and he'll follow us through the lake.
Oh.
But he don't have a thing to do. When he gets through eating, he goes right back to the burr farm.
That bullet's still in.
He stays right by his shed. And the vet told us that the best thing to do is to get rid of him.
Well, you had a hard time when you found him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I wish
that
the one that,
that
shot him would have had to went and sat down and stayed with him when he was sick and seen how he suffered, because he come in at 8.
You could hear him breathing as far as he hit your barn out there.
Oh, really?
Why, Marvin?
Mm-hmm.
And his mouth was open, you know, and and his eyes looked like they was going to fall out.
They just bulged out, you know. Just
and I think he's partly blind. He acts like, you know.
Shot in the head?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Just
right,
a little bit too,
little
low,
bit
to
too low to kill.
That makes three bulls we've had shot.
Yeah.
Miss Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
Big ones, too.
And you think he had pneumonia?
Yes, he did. He had pneumonia. He got run
down
so. He got run down so by that bullet till he
did
weakened
him down so bad and gave him the fever. Anything with the fever go into pneumonia.
So you had him on your hands there for a while?
Marvin did. He carried him home and taken care of him.
Yeah, I carried him home. And
if he hadn't, he wouldn't have never made it.
For about 2 weeks, I gave him 100 cc's of penicillin a day.
100 cc's?
That's right.
Marvin!
Mm-hmm.
That's what the vet told me.
100 cc's a day.
How'd you get him home?
Oh, I hauled him in the trailer. He wasn't down. He could poke about, you know.
Oh.
And,
But he was in bad shape.
Well,
you're
lucky to have that trailer, aren't you?
I mean, after
you
then.
You just wouldn't believe it.
After then, I weaned him off on Orin Mice, off that penicillin, and give him about, I guess I give him about three or 4 pounds of that. Now, breaking up that infection, trying to.
Good Lord.
If it hadn't been for that, he wouldn't have been here today.
And you'd been short of a bull, big animal.
That's right.
Well, that was expensive enough.
Well, it was. That's true.
Well, if you just knew who it was and just let them see what it took.
Isn't that a pity?
Well, if I knew who it was, I don't know whether I'd let them see or not. I don't know if I didn't give them a good old country beating and let them go back home.
Good old fashioned.
That's right.
Treatment.
You know, some people do things like that and it don't bother them a bit.
They don't think about it twice.
Yeah. How did you all find him?
I found him at the pen. He was missed one night coming in.
I see.
And then next night I went down there where he had already.
See, we got shirt down there.
We got our
in the pen.
Uh-huh. Down there.
And you can tell when one's missing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, how about your syrup? You still got that out?
Mm-hmm. 555.70 worth.
Miss Mary.
$132 a ton.
Well, you can't pay prices like that.
Well, I did do it, me and Marty.
Well, on that protein, it's not so bad this time of year. They're not going to eat that much of it. But they'll eat it as much as they need to keep them going.
We sure did. We
it's
had to buy feed, and that's the cheapest we could buy.
It's more or less balanced.
It goes farther, you know.
Miss Dodd don't have one of them.
No.
Well, she ought to.
She's talking about wanting to get one.
You see?
She ought to have two or three of them. I'm going to get me another one.
We're going to get another one.
I'm going to buy me another one. I'm going to put it down on
the
lake and have
it
filled up.
What it does.
Because it sure does do the calves good.
No.
And the cows too.
The calves get it too.
Oh, yeah, by nursing their mother.
Oh,
well, they
and
get
they
it,
eat
they'll
it.
They'll get it off of that wheel.
They learn it pretty fast.
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
What it does, it makes your cow eat stuff that they ordinarily wouldn't eat now, like
yeah.
They're eating you
well,
your rye out in holes, oats out in holes.
Yeah.
It'll just make them just graze it down as they go. And stuff like that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It won't make them pick around. And
she, but she is the very one that needs it. She needs it. Her cows need it worse than ours because ours is in the woods and hers is not. But you can't make some people.
It's got lots of
believe that.
Minerals in it that the cows need that they don't get normally.
She has a lot of things put up with.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I found out about this. I was over there pretty soon after this Freddie had been over there,
mm-hmm.
And him and Berman got out there and walked around, and Berman come up and says, well, I think I'll just put this little piece in melons just for the local trade. Well, I was talking to one of these fellas one day, and I says, look at there. What you gonna do about this? Well, he says, that don't matter. They had that understood last year.
She knows all about it.
She knows that?
Sure, she knows all about it. Because she told me they were gonna plant what more.
But I'm gonna tell you, you know, they come around here and see that bahia grass out there, and they can't hardly stand it.
Who's that?
These melon growers.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get the fever of growing melons, they can't see a piece of grass out there but what they want to plant
right.
up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a continental about the grass.
Oh,
and they'll tell you all sorts of things, whatever they think you want to hear.
You go off and leave your field in one of the worst pictures you ever saw.
Yeah.
Beds and hills and mounds all over.
And
the
ain't a thing. And a bit of equipment you got.
That's right.
That'll level them.
That's right.
They had stuff back there. Bill Wynn. And I said to Bill Wynn, you're going to have to level it. He said, perfect, all right. I'll get Pardee to level it. Okay. When they got through, they walked off. Pardee was already gone. And couldn't get him back over here. I kept talking to him. I said, Cecil, I went back there and tried everything I could rig up. Everything I could rig up. I tried a half dozen ways.
You couldn't even walk
it. I didn't get anywhere on leveling off them roads. And you know what? The only way I could get that done was get Bill Wynn to get Pardee over here. And when Pardee came over here, he says, "Oh, yes, you took high authority, didn't you?" That is, he didn't name to come back. Well, that's
there's been, I don't know how many people wanted to rent our land for 1 month.
Yeah.
But, I figure I can get more out of it.
They won't, stand up to what they say if you're not right there and make it.
They ain't nobody that'll stand up to what
they just
say.
Won't.
You gotta be there.
I'm telling you, people just won't do.
I tell you, they can't pass a field of hay with what they don't want to plow it up.
Well, he finally leveled that as good as it could be leveled, and that was something, but goodness, well, you couldn't even walk in it, much less.
But the only way you can level them down is with a blade. You can take a blade and level them pretty good.
Yeah, if you got one.
Yeah, if you got a blade.
And some ways will do it and some won't.
That's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Your equipment's just not big enough.
That's it.
And they don't want to pay you anything for
it.
I saw in the paper where the government was going to buy up all of that steers. And they was going to grind it up into hamburger and give it to school. Well, that's going to bring the meat price, they said. And they said by June, it was going to be at its peak. And I don't know if when June comes, if it goes up like it did. I don't know what day it's some cows on the road.
You and Shelley both made something on it last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And didn't do it again. I tell you,
but Mr. Miles, what good does it do me? So I have to send it to the government. Now they're going to make me and Marvin pay every 3 months.
They want to. I don't know if I'm going to start it or not.
You will if they say.
Well,
they,
I guess they will. I'm going to wait.
The income tax woman said that we might have a penalty put on us.
They might penalize
for not paying it before.
Last year.
But we haven't heard anything. But we might.
Oh, an estimated tax.
Mm-hmm.
We might, anyway. They want us to go in and tell them how many calves we're going to have born and what the price of them is going to be and what they're going to weigh and all. Who in the world can do that?
I don't know how to estimate our tax.
I don't ask me.
How much money are we going to make?
I know John Bogue said that he did last year. He estimated his and overestimated, and they penalized him for overestimating. $35 worth. So that's what you're going to do. He said, if you do, you're penalized. If you don't, you're penalized. So he said, I believe I'm going to don't. So, I mean, it really does. It puts you on the spot. You don't know where to what to do, because I can't estimate.
It looks to me like that if our president can do things like he does and get by with it, we could do, but we can't.
That looks bad.
I don't know how much money we're going to make.
You got more lawyers than we have.
Well, you can't, and if you could estimate, you don't know what the prices are going to be.
That's it. So I think I'm going to just let them, I'm going to do like
them.
Them
men that tested our cows, they were just talking between themselves. They weren't talking to me, but I heard it. One young feller said, don't never trust a preacher, don't trust a doctor, don't trust a lawyer. Three things you don't want to trust. A preacher, a doctor, and a lawyer.
In that order.
Says they all crooks.
He must have had some experience.
He must have did. I thought that was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
We come a preacher to our house the other day. It's a holiness. Last Saturday. And how come him to come there? He come to see Julie, and Julie was up at my house, and he seen her car up there. Man, if I didn't give him a rough time.
Miss
me. I sure did.
What'd you do?
Huh?
What'd you do?
What did he? I just told him what I thought about the preachers.
What'd you tell him?
I told him that my first husband said there'd be more preachers going to hell than there would be anybody else.
You tell him that?
Didn't I tell him that? And I told him, I said, I ain't saying nothing about you, because I don't know nothing about you. But I said, I ain't got no confidence in none of them.
But if the shoe fits, wear it.
And I
don't pull it off.
I told him, I said, every preacher ought to live a life. Let his light shine that others can see.
Yeah. Well, it shines all right.
Yeah, it does, but it shines the other way. And he begged me, he said, come on out to our church. Come on out to our church. I said, well, I don't say that I'm going, and you don't say I ain't going. I said, if I might go, and I might not. I bet he thinks that I'm a pure old infidel.
Might go one time and never go again.
He won't stop at your house anytime soon. You reckon he might?
He might
think she needs praying for or something.
Well, I do.
Well, he might think she's got a little something.
I do. I need praying for her. I need lots of it. And I don't claim, like I told him, I know that I'm not a Christian, and if I say I am, I tell her something that ain't so. And the Lord knows my heart, and he knows my ways, and he knows my thoughts. And every one of us in every day of our life. And if we say we don't, we, you know what the Bible says.
Well,
we are a liar.
Well, now, you need praying for anything you just said?
No, I don't need to praying for that, or anything I just said, because that's in the Bible.
About the preachers and the...
Yes, sir.
You didn't say that about the preachers and the doctors and the lawyers.
No. I didn't say that. The other man said that.
It was just them talking among themselves out there. Didn't it?
I don't know what she needs praying for so much about...
Because I'm a sinner. I come short.
Well, you can't.
Well, you don't seem to be such a sinner.
Well, I tell you something.
You won't let me get away with anything. I reckon. You see, every time you catch up with me, you wrap me on the knuckle.
Well, when I wrap you on the knuckle.
Well, you wouldn't let me go over here and snitch a little turnip green for you.
No, that's wrong.
Well, what's she got to pray for, Marvin?
Pray for you, if you do that.
Well, you wasn't talking about me.
He's talking about praying for you. About the preacher coming and praying for you.
Because, Mr. Miles, I have evil thoughts about people.
About people?
Yeah. About anybody that does me wrong?
Oh, about that fellow that shot your cow?
Yes, about that.
Well, I think, yeah.
You need praying for that fellow shooting your cow.
I need praying for her because I had evil thoughts against him. According to the Bible, I should be praying for him.
Well, in a manner of speaking, you were.
There's so many words.
You was wishing he could be there and see that guy, give that guy a few shots of penicillin.
No, I said I wished he had to see the cow suffer.
Yeah.
See how the cow had to suffer by his wrongdoing. That bull wasn't bothering him.
I wouldn't put her in jail for that, Marvin. She don't need it near as bad as you do.
Maybe not.
You're going to tar it.
And feather him if I catch up with
him. And I'd like to have been there to help you.
And then prayed for it.
Well, I tell you, we,
We're all gonna, if we're saved, we're going there by the skin of our teeth.
By the skin of them.
We just barely will make it, and
yeah.
That's all.
I don't plan on having a very large reunion when I get there. Not with my, like you say, not with my thoughts.
It's your thoughts that get you.
I don't think I'm as fierce as I used to be. I used to.
But I hate for anybody just to tell a lie about anything. And they know that they're telling a lie.
It seems so to me.
And I'm going to tell you one thing. Of course, you may think, well, now you're trying to beat me, but I'm not. But if I was to come to you and I was to borrow $100 from you and I'd say, Mr. Miles, Saturday morning I'll come and bring that money. If I couldn't get that money, I'd be here.
And let him know.
You wouldn't have to hunt me up. I'd be here to tell you, Mr. Miles, I couldn't stand up to my obligation. And as soon as I get it, I'll give it to you.
Well, I can't test you on that because you ain't going to borrow $100 from me.
I ain't going to try to. But then there's just oodles of people that will do you just that way. And just tell you a lie just because they can do it.
Yeah. I tell you, you do run into some curious situations. You do indeed.
I don't see how anybody could say that I'm going to pay you on a certain time when they know they owe it and when they know they're not going to do it. I don't see what.
We've had it done to us over and over and over.
How do they figure they can get by with it?
Over
yeah.
And over. If you want to lose a friend, let him have some money.
Yeah.
If you want to get rid of somebody, let him have some money, and you won't see him no more.
I believe that.
Well,
he won't
idea.
Have no. I know Mr. Guthrie lost friends by doing that.
Well, maybe he lost some that he didn't mind.
Well, they wasn't friends to start with.
Yeah.
But absolutely, if you want to get rid of somebody and they want to borrow some money, let them have it.
Well, who did he lose?
Well, Mr. Lem Rutledge over at Hawthorne. And several.
What happened to him?
He bought. He told. The way it was, the first tractor we ever bought.
Yeah.
Mr. Rutledge told Mr. Guthrie he'd give him $50 if he'd buy it.
Well, that was his.
That was
commission.
His commission.
Oh, I see.
That he would get
Mr. Guthrie bought the tractor.
I'll give you my commission.
Mr. Rutledge was his enemy. He knowed he weren't going to do it when he said he would. And his certain ones come to Mr. Guthrie and borrowed $50. $50 weren't very much, but $50 was a whole lot them days.
Well,
they was through with him then.
Well, now, what happened to Mr. Rutledge? He didn't give him the $50.
No, he didn't. That's what I say. And he fell out with him right then.
Oh, he just got him to buy the tractor.
That's right. And see, Mr. Rutledge's commission was $50.
And he got it and kept it.
He was undecided to where to buy a Ford or a Case. He had the each one of them in mind, see. And there wasn't but a very little difference in the price of them.
Oh.
So Lem sold him the Ford, you know. Just.
But he didn't get the commission.
No.
Oh,
I don't
see.
Think he actually expected it.
Oh, uh-huh. As much experience as he had, I imagine he knew kind of ahead of time what was going to happen. Don't you reckon?
He did.
Oh, he had money dealings with a lot of people. But, you know, it seems to me like some people can lend money and it all comes back to them.
Well, you know, I'm kind of like, I heard John Henry Bolton say one time. Somebody went to him to borrow some money. I don't remember not who it was. But he said, like you're saying, he says, I'm not in the business for loaning money. He said, now there's lots of finance people in Gainesville. He said, now they're in the business going to borrow from them. He says, I'm not in the business.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Oh, really? Let me tell you, there used to be people when I was growing up that of course they had the banks, but then like fella like Sid Harris lived out in number one district. He kinda made a living lending money.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know, I just a child. I don't think he didn't anybody charge more than the legal rate, you see. And oh, you had some of the horse traders who try to foreclose and get the animal back, but I think a lot of them fellas, I don't think they did that. He made a living, I think he made most of his living just putting money out, $50, $100, $500 at a time. And he bound to have got his money back, or else he would have quit.
Well, if he lost it,
Miss
if he Thomas lost some interest,
he
would take
in
care
the
of
corner
it.
Down there, where the goose used to be.
Oh, what's her name?
Snodgrass. Leslie.
Leslie, the cleaners down here at McIntosh.
Mm.
What's her name? Cleaner's
wife. Never can think of it. All I can think of is Maggie. That's not right. Oh.
Her name is Jamie, isn't it?
No.
Bessie?
Well, Bessie died, of course. And it's the family that owns it.
Well, was she their mother? Sure.
Bessie and Mag, you see, was there when I come, and Mag, that's Mag's daughter down there that married Leslie.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's
oh,
Mag's
right.
daughter. So,
well,
Bessie's children all dead.
Well, I thought that this woman was a black.
Sure.
I think her...
Talking about Dora, that was her name, Black.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
You don't mean to tell me that this woman that died up here was this cleaning woman's mother?
No.
Or her aunt.
Aunt.
A cousin
well,
or
she
something.
Well, she could have been a Black. She could have been Hart Black's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I think it was.
Well, she told me that the one time that...
So, see, I mean... Bessie's sister probably married Hart Black, and that would have been her aunt. So
it's been years since I saw this woman down there.
Nettie is her name. Nettie. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's Nettie. She just like them all.
What went with the goose?
Somebody.
Some fella. I give him away. While Miss Bessie was sick, the fella who traded with him, she traded with him, come by looking for a goose. And I told her he could have him unless we asked for him.
It was our goose.
Was it?
Uh-huh. We had a goose and a gander and lost the goose, I guess. This was the gander. And that was...
Well, that man out him. It's got that feed store up down Hardware.
Yeah, he got them.
He's got them, plenty of them.
Uh-huh.
He's got the prettiest stuff I ever saw.
You know, he's cheap on feed up there in Gainesville.
Yeah.
He sure is.
Is that right?
I got me two little baby hens and a Kermit fox. And a little Benny rooster.
Yeah.
And I got a bowl of eggs.
Hey, lady, this thing you ever saw.
I wanted one of them to go to setting, but she take the nest. Yes, ma'am.
Danny.
Yes, ma'am.
It's this sounds a purebred Bard Rock Benny.
Uh huh. And then I got 27 other.
Well,
Mary,
like
you're back in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, sir. I went to Pick and Save and picked up a rooster.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to have me a pot of chicken and nothing, and that thing cost over $7. and I laid him back down. It sure did.
You know, that's hard to believe.
It is, but you was right there, didn't you? And it said Capone.
No,
Capone.
$7.
It was over $7.
A few cents over seven, I don't remember now.
Good Lord have mercy.
And
that's too much for one little old chicken.
I never
heard. I didn't care nothing about the chicken, but I wanted to cook it with rice or make dumplings or something, you know, just have something to eat. I thought, oh, not that.
So you just bought you some chicken?
I went out there and that man had these. And I got me 27.
I saw his sign. And I thought to myself, bud, I sure would love to have some. Where are you going to keep
them? I keep them out there in the yard in the pen.
You got it all fixed up?
Mm-hmm.
Top and everything?
Oh, no, I haven't got the pen. Top.
Well, we got a brooder deal built.
And at night, I've been putting them in a big box and putting them in the house, but last night, they slept in the yard.
Place. We just had a cook.
I see. Uh-huh.
I got them up now, you know, where they can kind of look out for themselves.
Oh, you got little ones?
Mm-hmm. And I got the smartest little rooster. Mr. Bogue gave me a little hen and two roosters.
Yeah.
That's like coming over with a banny.
I think that's wonderful.
But I like them little chickens pretty good. I don't like no big chickens. Them little ones, they're smart and they get out if you let them and make their own way pretty well. And they ain't all time around the steps and under the house.
We have
but
to
them
keep
old
them
big chickens, they just lay right in the door and wait for you to throw
our
out vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And then they get it down there and start doing that way.
Scattering their fleas all over the doorsteps.
I don't care for that.
Well, I hadn't thought about the little ones being better.
Them little ones,
say,
they get on off like
you know, these pest control places, they control everything. We don't have fleas anymore. We used to. They just walk around here and spray on around the edges and then throw some stuff out there for the cockroaches. That salt, sort of looking stuff. Do you have the pest man?
Mm-mm.
We did once or twice, but he just made them bad.
You made them
home.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But we haven't had him in several years. But.
Well, you had a carrier inside.
Mm-hmm.
But you kept your dog pretty clean. He didn't care fleas, did he?
Oh no, I'm not talking about fleas. I'm talking about roaches.
I don't think you can get rid of roaches.
Oh, them fleas, you can get rid of them with chlordane. Just run that around the edge of your house.
Oh, can you?
And it'll take care of that flea situation.
Just sort it out?
Just
you can't throw it out when there's chickens there.
Hey, it ain't going to hurt your chicken.
No, we used to spray our chicken house.
It won't hurt it.
As
long
put
as
it all up and down the wall.
As long as you don't just dust the chicken itself and all in the head and everything.
It won't hurt him.
Catch them out and dust the house and let that dust settle. And him walking in it, no, that ain't going to hurt.
Well,
it's
not.
That's, I didn't
oh,
know
I
that.
See.
That what now?
Chlordane.
No,
out.
I was thinking about that Sylvan.
Melathon. We used a lot of Melathon. That'll run in fleas. That'll get rid of the fleas. But that Chlordane will run them and keep them warm.
Oh, really?
Melathon's a little more dangerous.
Well, it smells so bad, you know.
Well, that Chlordane, they cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
The concentration, they
yeah.
cut it down. You see,
that's
according
right.
to what?
Mm-hmm.
They need it for.
That's right.
Now, what I buy is 5%.
5%.
Now, that's what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, buy in a 5-pound bag?
Yes.
Yeah, it started out costing around 50 cents. Now what it cost?
Holy, I declare I haven't bought in a good long while.
Last I bought, cost $1 or $2.
But that Melathon, it's good, but you can put it around the yard and you'll smell it for several days.
My watch.
Oh, Miss Mary, look at that.
Wish I had one.
It just lasts 4 years old, being 100 years old.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Miss
Mary. It'll open up, thank you.
Was it Mr. Gussie?
Mm-hmm. I never seen it run till Ted fixed it for me.
Oh. Isn't that a beauty?
Isn't that a beauty?
I wish I had one just to look at.
And keeps time.
Seen many a watch like that. And you see when people used to, I remember when they died, they'd give that to somebody special.
Mr. Guthrie gave me that. And I never seen it run. I couldn't get it fixed.
Yeah.
And Ted fixed it for me.
Ted
Chrome that bought 50 acres of the Denham place we sold.
Oh, I haven't run any, yeah.
He's a young fella. He runs a watch shop in Gainesville.
Oh.
He's a watchmaker.
I've always been thinking
about
it.
I don't know exactly where his place is. His daddy's got one there, I think.
Let me see here. Where did he tell us, Marvin?
He told me, but I don't remember.
Yeah, he bought 50 acres.
Mm-hmm. Now they had a chain sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, see that one set it. You don't pull out on stem like you would most of them. It's
he's making washes and his wife's going to school.
Mm-hmm. You just take your thing and pull that there out like that. See,
uh-huh.
And then
just
it sets. The then you push it back in and then now you can't move them hands with that stem.
A house trailer and two dogs.
Yeah.
Just think what it would cost today.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a history behind that. That was stolen.
And there's a lot of people
want
that watch. Lots of.
And he traced it up and he got it out of a pawn shop.
Oh, really?
They found it in a pawn shop. If it was stole today, I'd never get it back.
What's that, quarter?
I'd never be able to get it back.
By that, you got 10 after. Of course, I don't know. That might be fast.
How'd it happen to
you?
I don't know how they got it, but he told me that it was stolen from him, and he traced it up and got it out of a pawn shop.
Yeah. Now they go so far and all, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
have
well.
There's so many pawn shops, you wouldn't never get it.
And then they.
Isn't it a heavy one?
They wouldn't let it out anyhow.
Yes, and you know they would carry it and have a chain and put it in their watch pocket.
You can't get trousers with watch pockets
mm-hmm.
on them anymore. I haven't got any in a good while.
Yeah.
And with all that gold in it and all this ornament.
What's the last vest you wore? I used to wear a vest all
just
the time. I thought that was one of
the
nicest.
He never wore a vest.
Oh, really?
I don't believe, have you?
I think I had one suit one time with a vest on it. Just push it in on the stem and press it and it'll close. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice?
It's just beautiful.
Nice.
I carried it to Gainesville.
It's that nice.
And I wanted them to fix it. Oh, we can't fix it unless you let us take it out of the case. I said, no,
well,
I don't want you to take it out of the case. Well, we just can't fix it unless you let us take it out of the case. I said, you just give it back to me. And I said,
they wanted to put it in another case.
Yeah.
So I never did get it fixed. And I showed it to Ted. And Ted said, I'll fix it for you.
He had it all two pieces. I guarantee you, just like tearing an automobile.
Oh, did
he?
He said that it like just 4 years had been.
There's somewhere in that tells when it was made in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they got serial numbers that tell.
Well,
yeah,
I think that's what
that's
they took out of that.
And he just took it all apart.
He went, got serial number and went to the book.
Tore it all.
Well, he probably cleaned it a little bit too.
He
he said he did. He said it was gummed up pretty bad.
Well,
because it hadn't been run in probably 50 years.
Oh, longer than that.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh, you mean Mr. Guthrie didn't keep it going?
Mm-mm. He didn't get up about it.
What did he do? Just hang it up?
No, it was just lying around. It was in the dresser drawer when I married him. And I got
it. Didn't use it then?
No, I asked him to have it fixed, and he said no, he didn't want to wear it. He said it was too heavy for him. And he said, you can have it if you want it. And I said, okay.
It's just beautiful. And you talk about being worth something.
Mm-hmm. He just didn't have a little old dollar Ingersoll.
He didn't want none at all. He wouldn't even wear a ring.
He said if the sun couldn't tell him what time it was, he'd just wait till noon.
Oh, really?
I'll bet he could tell almost to the minute what time it was by looking at the sun.
You know, old Hoyt Haymans was over here. To sell me a Ford pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know him.
That rascal.
Ford Junior. Preacher.
Preacher?
That's his name,
yes,
Preacher.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Oh,
he's been Preacher ever since he was that high.
Oh, really?
Well,
when was he over here, Mr. Miles?
Well, it was back in the fall because your friend J.R. Mountain was over here and helped me on this old stove. And he had that Ford pickup truck, and I says, J.R., I sure wouldn't mind having that truck. It's a little bit large, but it was nice. And he says, I'll get the man out here for you. Well, I thought to myself, I didn't think it could get a second thought. Next Saturday, here come J.R. and Lloyd Haymans. He didn't tell me who he bought it from. He told me it was that fella up there at the Ford truck place. I didn't know who it was. He got out of here and he introduced himself. And his unusual name, but see, I knew what I was listening to. And so I got to talking to him about some of the things we've been talking about, see. But he didn't want to talk about that. He wanted to talk about selling that truck.
Oh, yeah.
He's slick. He moves.
Well, you know, I can go up there and he won't try to sell me a car.
We went up there.
He'll talk about everything but automobiles.
Right
up there on the shore, he doesn't lie.
Is that right?
He won't try to sell me one.
Yeah.
I went up there one time to buy one and I said, Hoyt, what about that? I said, you got a little secondhand one out there. What about that? Oh, you don't want that? It ain't worth a dollar. He said, keep walking. You don't want that. And then start talking about some cows or fishing or something, or hunting or something or another.
Yeah.
And you say something else about buying a car, oh, you don't want that.
Ford man called me the other day, you know, they got a big place now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they built it.
They have spread out.
Yeah, they way out there on North Main.
Well, now it's after they moved that he was out here.
called me and he said, told me who he was, and he said, you're the man that, I'm the man that you bought the little Maverick from. I said, is that so? He said, yeah. He says, don't you need a truck? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. He said, you bought the notion to buy one? I said, yes, sir, I sure am. And he said, well, what kind do you want? And I told him what kind I wanted, you know. And he said, how's your little Maverick holding up? And I said, you know, you waited a long time to call me and ask me that. But I said, when I get ready to buy my truck, I'm going to remember how the Ford people done Marvin when he had the rear end tore up and he carried it back up there and had it fixed. He said, what did they do to him? I said, he carried it up there, and I said, they give him the run around, and they give him the run around, and they wouldn't fix it. They told him that they couldn't. Didn't have the parts, and I said it come time to put a payment on it, and he went up there to the bank, and he told the people that the car was going to be fixed, or hell, shit belonged to them. He wasn't going to put another payment on it. I said, I'm going to remember that when I buy my next car. Oh, I wished I'd have known it. I wished I'd have known it. I'd have done something about it right now. I said,
You put your piece in then.
I sure did.
You think that's another reason they're going to have to pray for you?
No, I don't think so.
He had it coming to him.
He had it coming to him. But they'll tell you anything in the world till they get you a car sold, and then the heck with you, they don't care what happens to it.
Yeah.
They sure don't. And if, you know, if Marvin had paid cash for that car, they wouldn't have put they never would have fixed it. They never would.
I learned a long time ago not to do that.
Well, you know, that's something to know.
Always wait a year.
Well,
just go ahead and pay.
Yeah,
that.
Just wait till
that's
you know,
right.
You know the bugs
is all
out of
you, Miss
Mark,
to pay the interest
then
on one
it.
Of them.
It's worth
it. And then if anything goes wrong with it, just tell them it's theirs.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
Oh, you can
leave.
Oh, you can do
it. Buy a new car today. I'd buy it on time.
I mean, if they take it back, you just
I'd run it a year anyway.
I mean, that's better than losing the whole car.
I sure would.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it gets up there and just makes you stay awake at night worrying about the thing.
No, sir. If, if you owe for one, they gonna fix it.
I'm not gonna owe for one if it's got any guarantee on it. I mean, not gonna pay for one straight out. I'm gonna owe for it a little while.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Till I know it's all right, and then I'll go in and pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And stop that interest.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get the bandage?
Well, Mr. John Bogue gave me three.
Who is he?
Man lives over there back of us.
Well, you probably hadn't met him.
He lives over there just back
of
Marvin's brother.
About 3 or 4 years.
He gave me two roosters and a hen.
Is he the man that was over there one day when I was there that come to borrow your ladder or something?
That's him.
You had met him. That's right.
He gave me the chickens. I told him, I said, I ain't got nowhere to put them. Rocked on. Marvin never did fix me a cook.
I didn't want
them
in the first place.
A chicken coop.
Give her a hen house.
Called me up one day and told me, he said, come get my chickens. Said he'd give me a cook. I told him when I got the chickens, so I said, I'll carry it back when I get my chicken house yard built. He said, I don't want it back. Something he made for a wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
He had him a wildcat in it.
Oh,
it's a dandy.
Oh,
really?
Good Lord.
Okay.
How big is it? Big as this table?
Yeah.
It's larger than this table.
So high?
Oh, it's way up high.
Good
Lord, how you hold that?
I put it in the pickup, back of the pickup.
Can you pick it up?
Well, you can turn it over on its end, see?
Pick it up that way.
That's
What's our opening? Has it got in it?
About so wide and about so high.
Yeah.
So we got a little chicken yard, you know?
Yeah.
And Marvin just cut the fence and went and stuck the door in the fence, you know? And they can go out in the little chicken yard and then go back in there to lay or go back in there to eat or roost up.
Is that
and
nice?
They roost upstairs.
And then you don't even close the door.
No.
Mm-hmm. You know, see, whatever it is, I got that fine chicken wire, and if coons or something comes up there, they'd climb over the fence, and they could go in there.
Uh-huh.
But the chickens is upstairs, and so all they'll then, possum or something will come along, get him an egg, and take off. There's one in there. If there's not one in there, well, he can't hardly get up to the chickens.
Have you all seen Miss Dodd lately?
No,
I haven't either. I called her and invited her over to see my kitchen, but she never did come.
She said she'd called you, and she got you, or didn't get you, or something. But I've called her 2 or 3 times over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, and every time I've called her, she's had the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And those children, the last time I called her, a day or so ago, I don't know how long ago, they're not long. The last one was coming down with it, Danny.
Hmm.
And he's still going to school. And she said that school over there had been from a half to 3/4 out with that flu.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that flu doesn't just come and leave you.
Well, we was lucky we missed it.
Oh, you were.
The biggest part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And last
you
night.
You see what my cod liver oil does?
Well, I've thought about that.
You tell you got it all?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
How much do you take? A spoonful?
Teaspoonful when
spoonful
I think about it.
Once
that's all
today.
I hardly ever think about it.
That's all.
That's all. Just a teaspoonful once today.
And you got a little bottle there, Danny.
Yeah, but Marvin, he done took all that up and got him another one.
It really not much bigger than that.
That's right.
It's a different size, shape.
Uh-huh.
But it is good for you. I know
yeah,
that.
That's your vitamin.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you, we used to take that all the time. And I remember we'd get that old crude
mm-hmm.
stuff that hadn't been perfumed. Or
tastes
mm-hmm.
like fish.
Well,
that's
thing,
you can taste the fish in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's not as bad as it used to be.
Oh.
Isn't it? But, say, let's get some of that. This little bottle here of castor oil.
that cost $1.25.
Uh-huh.
You used to get them for 10 or 15 cents.
Yeah.
15 cents,
yeah.
That size, you know that.
Yeah. Now, that's not the smallest one, that's the,
mm-hmm,
I guess you'd say the second size.
Well, you can, they tell me, a fella told me,
$1,
oh, several years ago, he said he's taking it every day, and he said that it loosens up your joints and your muscles.
Well, it's bound to have a
mm-hmm.
and portion of lubrication.
Said it was good for arthritis.
Now,
it'll help your legs, maybe.
Is that castor oil or cod liver oil?
Cod liver oil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you use cod liver oil besides clean you out?
Castor oil.
Nothing.
You know, they gave me a little bottle full of this and told me to take half of it before I went for the last x-ray. And you talk about cleaning out. Good Lord, have mercy.
He hasn't got over it yet.
It worked on me for some time.
You know, you can get that now. It's got that, it's just got a white, it's white.
Yeah.
Like milk of magnesium.
Yeah.
A lot. But it's castor oil.
And it works like it?
Hmm?
Still works.
Yes, sir.
Well, what in the sand hill was it they made me break down yonder when I went down there for my
castor oil?
You don't care for it?
It's that white, it's what?
Well, Marvin, it looked like a drink bottle about that high, and I had to drink the whole thing. They
it's
said
thick.
Just as fast as I could drink it,
well,
before it got hot.
It's thick. It's real thick, like.
It makes
like
me so sick.
Whipped cream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's that castor oil, that white one.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, it's terrible.
I didn't drink anything like that.
No, you weren't having that kind of test. You just had to have a, you
but
just
that,
had to be cleaned out.
That got me.
Well, this didn't work me.
They were probably x-raying your stomach.
Oh, that,
no.
that white stuff that you, in that tall glass. That
when I went down there the other morning at 8 o'clock.
That was just, and you was going to have some x-rays.
No, I was going to have some testing.
Blood tests. I don't know what that was. But whenever you have x-rays and they give you that white stuff, that's the follicle.
They picked
the
every one of my fingers.
The stomach find that there's a sore in that,
mm-hmm,
won't coat it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And bled me.
Well, you should have charged them for the blood.
I should have charged them for cutting them slits in my fingers.
Oh,
they got a system, haven't they? They just prick it and away she comes. What do they do? Put it on a little slide or put it in the tube?
Put it in the tube.
Just the other day?
Yes, ma'am.
They got razor blades and a cork stopper.
Oh.
And then just to expose just a little bit of it. Hit it like that, then it'll glaze your face. Well, out comes the bleed.
What does Lois do? Does she go with what's his name?
Oh, he's done quit.
He's not doing that anymore.
Oh,
I mean,
so they can live down here now,
ma'am.
Yeah.
They're living down here.
Yes,
now.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
He's done quit. They stay down there. He's been trying to get his plumbing in. He's got his plumbing in, and now he's trying to get his house wired. And the fella that he's getting to do his wire just comes whenever he takes a notion, and when he does come, he don't do nothing.
Sit around and talk about it.
Well, that's what happens to me.
I
figured he can beat that.
But he is a good plumber. Well, he's more or less a contractor.
Oh, is he?
Mm.
He can figure those things.
He sure does know how to put up his plumbing pipe.
Oh,
yeah.
That's something.
Yeah. Well,
he does a good, neat job.
You haven't had any plumbing to do?
No, we haven't, but
we're going to redo some one of these days, and I think I'll just get him if I can.
Well, you was plumbing over there when you moved your hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
That's plumbing, isn't it?
That's plumbing, but I'm gonna redo it. I'm gonna get some of that PVC and use it for drain lines, and I think I'll run the rest of it in copper.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because that plumbing that we got, that galvanized, it's getting old. It's real old. It's brittle.
Yeah.
And spigots outside, something runs against them, they just break right
off.
Yes,
like that.
Yeah.
Well, now, another thing you could do is just bury a post there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've done that in several cases.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the post won't stop it.
Well, yes, it stopped it. But in the same time, they're still getting rotten, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That galvanized pipe, it'll rot right out.
Mm-hmm.
That copper, it'll turn green, but it'll pretty well stay there.
Oh, man alive. If I had a pipe sticking up out there where I could get to it, I'd just be bound to hit it. I got to put them up against the building or up against a fence post or something where I won't hit them.
You don't ever see Debbie?
Yeah, we see her once in a while. She comes around. She stays in town more than she stays out here now, but we see her.
Mm-hmm.
She's working.
Mm-hmm.
She finally had to get a job. She run out of money.
What's she doing now?
Oh, she just got one of them office jobs, just the sort the last thing a fella'd want, I think. Just sits up there at a desk for 8 hours a day. Ain't that awful, Marvin? Well, why do they have to do that? They don't have to.
Well, somebody got to keep books, paper, I guess.
They could get them a job outdoors.
Yeah.
They get them, if they don't want to work in vegetables, they go over there at the rose garden and work on roses.
Well, as much as she likes the outside, I was surprised that she got a desk job. She said she wasn't going to be there too long. Now, Miss Mary, let me get her something to eat. Can y'all eat a little something?
Just a little bit of your salad.
Yes.
Is that all you can have?
That's all I can have.
I could have a little bite of that too, Faye.
I got beans and I've got cornbread and
that's just too bad that we eat. But I forgot about coming over here.
Well.
I'll eat some of your salad. And then we got to go and let him plant his peas.
Oh.
His longhorn, ram's horn.
Ram's horn. Now you got him, you got to plant them.
Got to plant them.
Well.
We got peas up.
Yeah. Well, now, so he's around there right from all the time.
Who, Jack?
Jack.
Oh, yeah. He's there.
So Lois don't have to put up, get around by herself there.
No, no. He's there.
And she got a telephone.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's just a step down there. You don't have to worry much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about, Faye said you were talking last night that you, every now and then your feet or ankles would swell up. Mine swell up all the time.
No, mine don't swell. Mine hurts and burns. They just burn like fire and hurt me, and my legs gets plumb cold, and the doctor says it's poor circulation.
What does he recommend?
Stuff for my feet.
Oh.
He told me every day to
go
to bed after
1 o'clock.
No.
She's supposed to.
And I'm taking medicine. No.
Well, let me tell you
what
the doctor told me about this kidney trouble and all that I have. He said that the medicine would sometimes cure it or relieve it. But he says the best thing I can do is set in a tub of hot water. It would take the swelling out and be good for it. And you know, I sit in a tub of hot water every now and then, and I find it the most boring thing I can think of.
Well, I do that every night. I get me a tub of water, and I just sit in there with my legs under that water. And that helps me better than anything else.
Well.
It makes my legs, you know, anyway, my legs will be hurting me so bad that I can't hardly go. And he said that he couldn't take me and operate and take my veins out and put new veins back in. And he said, you got to help me. He said, take your medicine and go to bed and stay there half a day. And he said, as far as my working, he said, that was over. He said, you've done enough of it anyway.
Well, you still can order people around.
Miss Mom, don't bring that out.
right.
You make us.
Well, now, Marvin, I'm not
it's
joking about
so
that.
So, yeah,
it's
I had things cooked for you.
A lot of ordering around and supervising is helpful.
Sure.
But you're just going to have a little salad. Right?
Now, like a while ago, you see, when you were showing me about that axe. There's a whole lot of things that a fella could use. Now, you see, if I was handling them chickens over there, I wouldn't do it right. I'd need a little more.
Well, I don't pretend to handle chickens right. That's kind of out of my line in the first place.
Oh, he does do it. He tends to them chickens just like they was his.
Well, he doesn't talk money, might as well.
He waters them and feeds them and he lugs them in and out at the house and he tends to them just like a old mother hen. He knows how to raise chickens. He knows just as much how to do about them chickens as the next one. We made the little pot sleep out of doors last night.
This fella says, I know how to do, but will I?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
he does.
It's a steady business.
Yeah.
He does. He does it.
Well, how do you all manage to get away? Does Lois help you?
Mm-mm.
No.
Well,
she
can kind of keep an eye on it up there.
She keeps an eye on the place or something like that, but we don't expect. Well, we haven't got anything that anybody wants in the first place.
Well, I'd like freezer, you know. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Well, if they get that, we'll just fill it up again.
Well, I tell you what. I've been tempted a number of times just to look around and see what I can see. I haven't done it yet.
No.
Would you all have some coffee? I haven't
no,
got
thank
any.
You.
No, ma'am. I don't
care. In other words, as the fellow says, I would like to get in ahead of this.
The one
if you don't move that bottle, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom.
Miss Mary, when you can
just
go.
Just the thought of it?
When just the thought of it can send you to the bathroom, that's going to put down the price of cash flow.
That's a getting there, isn't it?
I'm getting there.
Oh, I tell you, though. Well, all right, you said just salad.
Well, that's all
right. Well, now, he's a plumber and all. Now, what does Lois, what does she know?
Just to keep house, I guess.
Just keep house? She's not a country girl.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Mr. Miles. What
she's planting a garden.
Oh, is she?
She knows much about planting a garden. That little Benny Rooster, young. You know, they made they planted them some peas.
Yeah.
And made beds that high.
Yeah.
Taking the hoe and hold them up like potato beds.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Lois, I said, honey, you don't supposed to do that. And she said, well, Jack said that. I said, no. I said, you can't water that bed. You can't get that bed wet no matter how you try. And I said, what you want to do is to plant your peas in a little furrow. And then when they come up and get big enough to hoe, put the dirt to them. I said, you can't. Jack don't know doodly about farming.
Well, why would anyone? Let me tell you. Last summer when, look at that beauty. See any beauty? Ain't he a beauty?
Oh.
He's got a nest down here in this hammock.
Yeah, right.
What is here?
Woodpecker.
You know, I don't see much of them around the house.
They're nesting there.
What? Mm-hmm.
Well.
Miss Miles, you didn't cook these.
Yeah. They were hot.
That just smells good. Y'all have some salad?
Yeah, I have a few. Coleman put them, he done the pan. We just done what he said do. And he brought a new roll here.
I can't do that.
Well,
I don't know
give,
why.
Go on, let it go around there.
It just absolutely
just
will not do that thing.
This is cranberry.
You know, the best stuff I've had in a good while was that, what was it we had over there at Christmas? I sat down there just nibbling, the first thing I was eating. You had some of it in a jar. What was that? Applesauce?
Applesauce, yeah.
It was applesauce?
About it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then before that, what was it? Well, anyhow, it was
cornbread muffins. Don't go with it.
Was
anyway,
is this cornbread muffins? It smells like cake. I thought it was cookies.
Yeah.
It go with it. It goes with it.
And don't it smell good? You tell me you can't cook.
Old Coleman's mule, I think, went blind.
Oh.
So he told me.
That was applesauce. John, Mr. John, gave Marvin a few apples, and they was going to the bed, and I cooked them down.
Oh, maybe Mr. Marvin.
How about
that? Was better than anything we've had over here. Good long while. This does look like.
Isn't that good? It smells
cakes,
good. Delicious.
That's what Marvin said.
And then tell me she can't cook.
They don't taste like good.
This will go good with the
Coleman.
Have one of those to eat with it.
Isn't that delicious?
Coleman put in those soup things. He bet it after all like that.
Well, you know the first time I ever seen
it. He bedded it way up there.
Mm-hmm.
First time I
like
ever seen
salt.
Mr. Guthrie set out sweet potatoes,
he
put his right on the front
did
ground.
Did he?
Oh, really?
And I said, don't you know good and well that's not going to make? He said, yes, it will. And I said, well, all I ever seen is put them up on top of a bed. He said, yeah, and that bed dries out. And that potato can't make potatoes because it makes root. And they couldn't nobody make any better potatoes, and the more of them than Mr. Guthrie.
Coleman makes good ones. He didn't make them last year. Could have been the season.
He must have planned on the wrong time of the moon.
Well, he checked the moon. And I think he put it in on the last day of the moon.
Now he's probably looking at last year's almanac.
Yeah. Well, you look at those as you go out. And there was a few fair-sized ones. I'd have had cornbread. There was a few fair-sized ones, but...
That is really delicious, Mrs. Right.
But, in my house. Nobody said it was in my house. Got me saying it sometimes. Let me tell you what we were talking about. That's bending it up. He had a few, they had a few big ones down there. And every last one of them was busted. You know how they bust? Four ways, look like a star.
I don't know, I had the best seed.
Growing too fast.
Fertilizer.
That's what it sounds like.
They say that that's what makes them bust. They grow too fast.
Yeah. Oh, that little piece of
it. That little piece is done gone.
Have another piece.
I've had plenty of
time. Marvin has some more.
Some more of this.
It didn't make three bushels, even with those old busted ones.
Hmm.
It was just
the whole pack down there. And what I did, I went through it with a plow, with a cultivator plow, with a cultivator frame with a lot of little plows on it, and just dug them up. I picked up a few of them, and I had cows eat the rest of them. They weren't picking up. That's the sample of them out there. And they cooked a mess of them. They had no taste. But
Coleman
the year before, Coleman brought us a good size sack. I gave him hay. And they was as sweet as any potatoes I ever eaten.
Well, they had been dug long enough. Don't you reckon?
These had been too.
They just didn't do. And the vines are the prettiest things I ever saw.
Well, have you got any little draws out there?
No.
You got a bunch of potatoes. A bush back to put a small potatoes out there. Strange.
Yes, strange.
Maybe it's taking too long. I guess not to come in.
You don't want to.
You won't want it. You won't want to use anything. Maybe you're going to, I guess, get some freshness. But that's what I've been saying about Coleman's stock, you see, that he
do better if he's getting some freshmen. And last year, mm-hmm. it's the same old stock that he'd been using for no telling how long. Let me tell you. Last year, when he had such a poor crop, and I think he did the same thing over at his house.
I don't think he made any.
It wasn't any good over there. Let me tell you. Last year is the first year he's got fresh flips.
That's right. That he got. These are
and
fresh.
And you know, flips. They don't all grow in Florida.
And he ordered them, and when they came, they were almost dead.
Mm.
And he, that's right. These are fresh flips.
Telling us, Colin, her brother. I believe it was him. Telling us when he says anytime you want to raise anything like that from the it grows in the ground like a potato.
Yeah.
He said don't pick the little ones.
No.
To plant it. You know a lot of people just plant
and
that's
the way
seed
we always
yeah.
did seeds.
He says the bigger the better. He says that's where you get your stock from.
Oh.
He says that little one is running out.
Oh.
And it's that way on just about everything, you know.
He said that about sweet potatoes and something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you take your corn, for instance. If you select some seed corn, you don't pick them little bitty ears of corn for seed. You get that big, nice
well,
ear, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That was a new flip.
Oh, yeah. It was sugar cane. He said. A lot of people plant the top, you know, use the top it, grind the cane, the stalk, and make syrup, and use the top to seed.
Yeah.
He says use the whole stalk.
Use the whole stalk.
Oh. Yeah.
You see,